access to the agenda on your mind. Thank you for putting us on track. Thank you for making us to know what exactly to do and how to go about it. Be thou exalted. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. I want to welcome everyone in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that the Lord will keep strengthening us and will see us through this crisis that we are in. One thing I want to know, the Bible describes the church as a stone. And so no matter what we go through, we are never defeated. How many of you have seen a stone? Especially the one by the riverside, that kind of white stone. Wherever you put it, in water, in fire, in any place you put it, it survives. And that's why the church cannot be taken out until the Lord Jesus Christ comes for us. Hallelujah. And so I want to encourage us to keep praying. I want to encourage every one of you to steadfastly engage in prayer. If there's any time you should pray, you know, don't just pray for yourself. Pray for everybody. We heard of what happened lately, with Access Bank trying to retrench. Many more of such things people are planning. But listen to me. Our prayer can change the status quo. Our prayer can put us on top of the situation. Are you with me now? The Lord is helping us in Jesus' name. We have been discussing, I think this is the fourth teaching on this coming of the saints. The Lord has helped us. Our understanding has been so illuminated. So far, we have come to realize that before our going up, before rapture, the coming of the saints, we precede the rapture of the saints. The coming of the saints will precede the coming of Christ. We have established that before the coming of Christ, the saints will be sent in for the last harvest of soul. There's going to be an army of God's saints. There's going to be a movement. There's going to be a corporate evangelical movement of the saints into the world to bring about a great harvest. And you know, several people have always thought that there will be more people in hell than heaven. But I want to tell you one truth today. There will be more people in heaven than hell. Because what God is about to do with the coming of the saints is to ensure harvest in all walks of life. Harvest or soul. There will be soul winning like we have never had it before. There will be massive soul winning. I'm telling you this. Every one of us will be involved and fully engaged in evangelism. There's going to be a movement, a wave of the souls, of the power of God for soul winning. And so being able to establish the historical, you know, movement and restoration of the church. After the dark age, you understand that the dark age of the church is when the Roman Empire took over the church and they took all the truths, speaking in tongues, all the biblical truth that was established in the early church. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the teaching of repentance, direct access to God, all of that was taken away. You know, healing power of God, all of that. Some people even wrote certain theories and said, they said, healing has gone with the first and the early church. Praise God. And so after the dark age, we saw history, we saw Martin Luther, that God used to restore the biblical truth of repentance and direct access to God. And later we saw men like John Wesley and Charles Wesley that God used to restore the evangelical and holiness movement. And so from one level or the other, we began to see different people. We saw the classical Pentecostal movement by Charles F. Farmer and W.H. Simon, the one that happened in Azusa Street. This is history. And one thing I want you to know, that prophecy prophecy, history, his prophecy fulfilled. Anything you see in history is a fulfillment of prophecy. All this historical truths, all this historical journey of the church are prophecies that have been prophesied before now about how God will restore and bring. The Bible says he will prepare his church as a bride and present the church to himself, spotless, without blemish. So how is he doing that? By restoration back to the church, different biblical doctrines and truth, until the church come to completion, until we come to perfection. Now, anywhere you see perfection, especially in the new, starting from the New Testament, he said, "Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." He's talking about maturity, that we come to the place of full knowledge where we are conscious of the reason we are here. We are conscious the reason we are doing the job we are doing is not to earn money or get promotion or buy cars. That the end to everything we are doing is for the purpose of the kingdom. That we will come to a level of maturity, that even our marriage will become a tool for God to use to point people to Christ. That we will come to maturity, that we understand that even our going to school is to make us come to a place of understanding where we will be able to penetrate intellectual with the gospel. Many of us never know this, that you're going to school, your profession, your career, your marriage, your business, everything you are doing is supposed to be an instrument to point men to the kingdom. Everything, whatever it is you are engaging, are you a contractor? Are you a businessman? Are you a banker? Whatever you are doing. Now that is the maturity that the Lord is preparing the church to come into, where everybody in the kingdom becomes a useful vessel for this agenda. This is the greatest agenda in the mind of God. That all men will come to repentance. The Bible says, for God has long suffering, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all, listen to me, the desire of God is that every human being that has ever come into this earth should make it. That's the heartbeat of God. There is no desire in the heart of God that anyone should be lost to the enemy. His heartbeat is to see that everyone is saved. Everyone. And we are partnership in that agenda. If only we come to that understanding. And so last week we saw the role the fivefold ministry will play in this movement and restoration of the coming of the saints. We saw the role of the apostles, the role of the prophets, the teachers, the pastors, all the role they are going to play until the church, the saints are perfected, are equipped, are trained for the working of the ministry in all their various walks of life. Today we are going to be looking at something a bit different from what we saw last week, but we're going to be building on what we discussed last week. Last week we were able to see that God puts priority on the saints, not on the leaders in the fivefold ministry. God's priority is to ensure the reason Jesus appointed apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists was for the purpose of the saints. It's not the saints for the apostles or the prophet. He appointed the apostles, the pastors, the teachers for the saints. There would not have been need for the fivefold ministry if the saints was not in the heart of God. There would not have been need for, the Bible says he appointed some to be apostles, some to be prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. There would not have been reason for all that if not that God's focus was on the saints. He said all of these anointed people, these gifted people in these callings and offices, the reason I have given them is for the saints, nothing more. And last week, we began to see that it is very important now that everyone that has been privileged to be appointed or called into any of these offices should become saint-oriented. That pastors, prophets, apostles, and teachers should have a paradigm shift where their focus is no more on their talent, is no more on their titles, is no more on their ability to build facility. When their attention and strength is focused on the saints, because the essence of God appointing the saints, appointing men in the fivefold ministry, is for the saints, nothing more. Not that the people in the fivefold ministry should become famous. That was not the reason. He didn't appoint them for fame. We were not appointed to be pastors so that we can be famous. Listen, there was no promise like that. I was listening to a man of God this week, and he said he made a mistake early in ministry. That when he was coming into ministry, he came with the mind of, I want to be famous. I want to be rich. I want to be known. I want to be great. Many people have entered into ministry. So their focal point is not the saints to which God appoints them. Their focal point is self-centeredness, selfishness, self-development, self-amplification. Everything is about me. And that's why they come to the pulpit, they preach them. They compete by the numbers of people seated listening to them. Compete by the numbers of cars they ride. The numbers of countries. See, some preachers want to preach. The first thing they will start telling you, the numbers of countries they have visited. That isn't the essence they were appointed into the office. So there must be a shift on our focus. Apostles, prophets, and everyone that have been privileged. Not everyone is called into the fivefold ministry. Everyone that have been privileged must have a shift of focus, even in these last days. All the facilities, people cannot preach there again. Can you imagine churches that have 100,000 seating capacity? They are empty now. If that has been our focus, if that has been, it has become useless now. Traveling to different countries, you can't travel again. It has become useless. So we must understand that the essence why God appointed us, all the ministers in the fivefold ministry, be you teacher, be you an evangelist, be you a prophet, is for one purpose, for the maturing of the saints. And whatever you are doing that is not contributing to that is a waste of effort. There will be surprises. When we all sit at the judgment seat of Christ, and when he's been rewarding people, people will be surprised that most of the things people call the work of ministry will not receive reward. By the time these works pass through the test of fire, they will be burnt. Because for the saints, we are going to, all of us, we sit at the judgment seat of Christ, where we will be rewarded for what we do. What we do with the callings, with the offices he has given to us for the saints. Listen to me, you are not going to be rewarded for how famous you are. You are not going to be rewarded as a pastor, as an apostle, as a prophet, as a teacher, for how many cars you ride, for how many facilities, the number of church. You are not going to be, listen to me, you are not going to be rewarded for all those things. You are going to be rewarded for your contribution. And so there will be surprises when we all sit at the judgment seat of Christ, when men are being rewarded for the assignment. I mean, if you remember the scripture in Matthew chapter 20, where Jesus was talking about, he was likening the kingdom of God to a man who employed laborers. The Bible says he employed some into his vine, that they should work for him, his vine. He employed some in the morning. He went and employed more. He saw some people standing around. He called them. He said, What are you doing? They said, we are not doing anything. He said, come and work for me. He went in the evening time. He saw some people standing around. He said, what are we doing? He said, we are not doing anything. Come and work for me. He called people at different time. But amazingly, listen to this. When he was to pay them at the end of the day, he gave them the same. reward. The same thing. So the people who started in the morning began to grumble and said, how will you pay us the same thing with these people? He asked them one question. He said, who owns the vine? He said, I own the vine. Who owns the money? I own the money. I will decide what to give. You are not to decide for me. When you lose focus of your primary assignment, reward system can get you distracted. So our focus should be God's focus. God's focus is the saints. Do you know what he told John? In the book of John, what he told Peter? He said, Peter, loveth me thou? Peter said, Master, you know I love you. What was Jesus' reply to him? Feed my sheep. Do you know he told him that 3 times? Meaning he was trying to get Peter's attention. That the primary reason I'm bringing you into this apostolic ministry is not for you, it's for the sheep. He went further again, as if Peter has not got it, as if the lesson has not driven into his spirit. Peter, do you love me? Why is he telling Peter? The only way to demonstrate that you love me is to feed these people. And so whatever you are doing as a man or a woman that has been privileged to be called into the fivefold ministry that does not contribute into the feeding of the sheep, you have wasted time. You have wasted God's resources. Yes. When he was saying feed, he was not saying you should go and feed them with fish and bread. He was talking about the word. That when they are fed, they will grow by the nutrients and nourishment that comes from what they are fed with. No wonder if you see when Peter was writing his epistles, he was speaking. He said, desire the sincere milk. Understanding the instruction God gave him. He was telling those he was, he said, desire the sincere milk of the word. Feed my sheep. So fivefold ministers are given for the saints, not the saints for fivefold ministers. Our priority must be right. You don't use people and make yourself great as a man that has been privileged to be called. Listen to me. Any man who is called into the fivefold ministry has an anointing, a compelling anointing. That's why God is careful who he calls into those offices. Anyone who is privileged, genuinely called, not the people who assume they are called. There are people who are pseudos, who say that God has called me. But those who are genuinely called, they are people who God has separated with a level of anointing that compels the saints to listen to them because they were designed to be a blessing to the saints. Yeah. They have a compelling grace for leadership. People will want to follow them. So you should understand that God, when God gives you such a grace, it's not for you to use the people, it's for you to use what you have to bless the people. I was sharing with my wife yesterday, we were listening to a message, and I was telling her, I said, it is important the mindset you bring into ministry. The kind of mindset. When God asks you to go into ministry, it's one thing for God to genuinely call you. It's another thing for you to go into the ministry with right-mindedness, right motive. And I told her, I said, my motive, I have never thought in my life that when I go into ministry, I'll start collecting money from people. And so the money I collect from them should now make me great or start using them. I have always had this mindset that I was going to be a blessing to people materially and spiritually. It has always been in my dream that I was going to give cars to many people. One of the things that have been in my mind that I will give cars to many people. So the mindset many people in this fivefold ministry has brought in has corrupted the divine agenda. So their focus is not on feeding the saints again. their focus is on feeding on the saints. Are you getting that now? They are not focused on feeding the saints. They are focused on feeding on the saints. And that's why you see insult everywhere. People who have been disappointed, frustrated, who have trusted ministers, and they have been disappointed by what they saw. See insult everywhere on social media. The Lord is restoring His church. If I see Him a little, He may be the loudest. Now, I want to emphasize on something I said last week. That God has designed the fivefold ministry to be a service. Remember what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 20 when He was talking to the disciples, when the disciples started having this competition of who will become a leader after Jesus is gone. He said, "For in the world, they lord it over their own people." He said, "For in the kingdom, it is not like that." He said, "If anyone wants to be great among you, he must first be the servant." If anyone wants to function in the fivefold ministry, you must have a servant mentality. You are serving the people, it's not the people serving you. That people are helping you to carry your bag, carry your Bible, come to your house and wash your car, wash your clothes, is because of the honor they have for you. It's not because you are a boss over them. So we should not take advantage of people. See, if anyone of you wants to lead, he must serve. So as much as God has given these offices to serve the saints should not abuse it too. I was trying to lay an emphasis last week, the level of pride in church today. The level of rebellion in the body of Christ. The level of disloyalty. Disjointed understanding of what the church... You know, it was Paul that was writing unto Peter... You know, in the book of Timothy, it should be 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let me read to you. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is very important. He was writing to Timothy on how to teach the people the way they should conduct themselves. You don't come to church and behave anyhow. This is not your secular office. Let me show you that scripture. Very important. 1 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 15. "But if I tarry long," let me read from verse 14, "these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." There is a way to behave. Let me tell your neighbor, say, there's a way to behave. Yeah. Some people don't know how to behave in the house of God. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Listen, the church is not a traditional assembly where you can just say, I have an opinion. This is my opinion. No. There's a way to talk. There's a way you relate with people. You must know how to behave. That word behave means how to conduct yourself in the house of God. The church of the living God. The pillar and the ground of truth. So the saints must equally know their boundary and humble themselves under a minister. To be tutored, to be trained, to be equipped. Praise God. Now I want to show you, I'm going to be touching a lot of things today. So I'm saying how, you know, we can just make it very fast. And number one is this. What is the evidence that a saint has come to maturity or is growing to maturity? Because there are people who have been born again for long, yet they have refused to mature. When some people tell you their years, of salvation in Christ, you'll be amazed at the way they talk and the way they behave. Some people have been born again over 2 decades. The way they conduct themselves, the way they talk, is not different from a convert that just got born again last month. People restful in church, they can insult anybody, they can talk to you. And when you ask them, they say, yes, this year I am 30 years in Christ. 30 years of what? There is difference between aging and growing. You can be aging and not be growing. Such people become principalities in church because they have stayed too long in church, but they are not growing. They become problem to the pastors. They become problem to prophets. They can give you years of history, how the church was founded, how when they know when the pastor got born again. So they become an entity by themselves. They can tell you history of anybody in the church. So we must know, what are the things that actually put traces on a believer that this person is growing? And listen, you have to check this one after the other to check if am I really growing? Because there must be growing up before going up. There must be growing up. God does not just use anything. One mistake people have made is to think God uses anything. He doesn't. God doesn't. Listen, he took 30 years to prepare Jesus. That should give you an example that God doesn't just use anything or anybody anyhow. He took that. It was Jesus. But he had to prepare him for 3 decades to use him for 3 years. So for everyone here, there was preparation of 10 years. So don't ever assume that God will just pick you from whatever thing you are doing or wherever way you are doing it, and there he will just use you. Listen to me. When Elijah said, God, there is no one again in Israel that knows you. No one, only me. He said, keep quiet. I have 7,000 I am training. They have not, nobody know them, but they are under God's incubation. They have not yet been revealed because God is growing them. Listen to me. Your desire for growth is one of the things that will enlist you for this agenda and this coming of this. If you don't want to grow, God can excuse you. There's nothing wrong. You will still go to heaven. Desire the sincere meek of the word of God, that ye may grow. Today, many believers in the body of Christ are too complacent. They just feel, listen to me, when somebody has more movies on his phone than the numbers of messages he has, it's an indication where his value is placed. You spend more time watching movies, listening to telecasts on the news. You are there 24/7 on Facebook. It shows how stunted your growth is. One thing about spiritual growth is that the more you grow, the more hunger you become. It's not like natural, hunger. Natural hunger, when you are fed, you get satisfied. Spiritual hunger, the more you are fed, the more hungry you become. So one of the indications that a saint is growing, remember it says the perfecting of the saint, meaning that perfecting is a continuous sense, maturing. It's talking about growth, a process. There is no gift of growth that God has given you. It has to take, just like it happens in the natural, that you have to grow from one stage to the other. Even Jesus grew. The Bible says he grew in wisdom. Even Jesus. And he was strong. He grew in wisdom and was strong, even in stature. God had to wait for his growth. He grew physically, he grew spiritually. What is your growth index?
If we are to check your growth index, can we match it with God's plan for your growth? Lord, give me anointing. Lord, use me, make me a miracle worker. Grow. The reason God will not put that oil on you to heal people, if He gives you now, you will play with it just like a child will throw away gold given to him by his parent. Because he's a child. Give a child car key. Do you know what my daughter did lately? She took 2,000 naira and flushed it in the toilet. And that, it was lately I was hearing it. That was not the first time. She didn't know. She has not grown. I heard she has been taking money. You just see money. She just throws it. She flushes. That is how it is when God puts spiritual treasure into the hands of immature believer. He will flush it. So what do we do now? We keep money away from her. Because we know she has not grown. She doesn't know its value. The reason you are crying every day, God, I want to be a miracle worker. Anoint me. Put me in. Listen. Grow. Tell your neighbor. Say, grow. Grow. Stop this churchianity. Stop this church activities. Grow by the sincere meek of the word. Activity in church does not promote growth. It promotes activists in church. That you are involved in many things, it doesn't make you grow spiritually. It only makes you become an activist. You are here, you are there. So number one sign of maturity among the saints is the ability. It's not the ability to prophesy powerfully or do miracles. It's that, listen to me, one of the signs of maturity is not that I see vision. There are many people who see vision, who prophesy and interpret tongues, but they are babies, I'm telling you. They are amateurs. They are babies. They don't know anything. They speak all manner of tongues. Speaking in tongues, listen to me. Do you know that doing miracles is not a sign that you have grown? Can I prove that to you? As at the time in the early church that the apostles like Peter were performing miracles, they have not come to maturity of divine purpose. They were still limited. In fact, Peter preached and said salvation belongs only to the Jew. And as at that time, they were already wrought miracles. Now that you prophesy or you are a sound preacher doesn't mean you have grown. Ability to preach is not an indication of growth. So one of the indices of spiritual growth is the ability to get along and work with others. Ability to come to the place of unity with other brethren. Where you don't see yourself as an island, you are growing. The Bible says, they comparing themselves with one another, they are unwise. One of the indications that saints are growing in the kingdom is ability to come into a place of understanding and unity with other brethren. No quarrels. Paul was talking to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 1. Let me read to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 1. This is very important. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Sorry. 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual. I could not speak to you as mature people. That was what he was talking about. He was saying in Corinthians, he said, I cannot talk to you as people who are matured. Why? But unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, I can't talk to you as mature people. Listen. He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Meaning, there are things he can't teach them. They are too solid for their spiritual consumption. You see people jumping around. Just give them small mic of the word of God. They are shouting everywhere, Rema, Rema, Rema. They won't sit down for meat and bones. People that should sit down under the tutelage of their pastors online, they have opened their own online church. Because they have just, it's easy to go on Google and type scripture and pull some scripture out and start teaching it. Something you have not digested. It's no wonder after some times you see those things they have teaching is betraying them. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Behind words, there's spirit. And if you have not mature, the spirit cannot deploy that spiritual resources into you. So that when you are speaking, the people are not just hearing words. There is a compelling force surrendering the heart of men to what you are saying. So it's not just about go to Google and type a topic there and say the anointing and come and preach it. There's a spirit behind the words and life. He said, I have fed you with milk, not with meat. For hitherto, ye were not able to bear it. Even the milk, they couldn't bear it. They couldn't bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. See, even up to now, you can't. For ye are yet carnal. Listen to me. Carnality actually means to live all your life in the flesh realm. You don't perceive anything spiritual. You are a believer, but your spiritual perception is shut down. You don't see anything than what your flesh. You follow your feelings. Feelings. Believer that goes after feelings. Small thing, they're angry. Small thing. I will not take that. I will. Carnal. They are led by their feelings. They are led by their emotions. If they see a woman, they want their emotions is what directs their life. They are carnal. They may be 30 years old, being born again, yet they have not grown. For whereas there is among you envy, these are indications that somebody has not grown. Envy. You are having issue with everybody. Envy. Strife. And division. Are ye not carnal? Do you see division there? When a believer is always having one issue or the other, they settle fight for you and that person. The next week, settle fight. You are always in loggerhead with people. Sir, it's an indication you have not grown. So when a believer comes to the place of unity, it's an indication where he knows how to relate with people. Even though they are offending you, you are not offended. Come to the place where you see every other person as brethren. You are not comparing yourself with people. Some people have problems. Everywhere they go, they compare themselves. I am better than him. When did he start ministry? My speaking in tongues is better than his speaking. Me, I sing in tongues. I have five types of... Listen! You are a baby. You are a baby. I'm a better preacher. But if I was the one preaching that message, I would have told them, listen, the Bible says, envy and strife, division, are ye not carnal? And walk as men. It's a major issue that must be dealt with for the coming of the saints to have a free flow. The corporate army of the saints to move swiftly. Because if care is not taken, if these things are not dealt with, while we are moving as an army, people will still have envy among themselves. And God does not dwell where there is disunity and commotion. Verse 4. For a while one said, I am of Paul. Another said, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? My man of God is the best. Go on internet now, you see. People insult another person, say, see that pastor, it's not my, if it was my pastor, say you are carnal. Who then is Paul? Who is an Apollo? Who is an apostle? Let me say, apostles are the people God, there is nothing like prophetic, all prophets are liars. You are a baby. There are genuine prophets. I am one of them. There are people today, if you say prophet, they say, I don't believe in prophecy. I don't believe in prophets again. A woman came here for reading one day. Somebody directed her here and said she wants to see me. And I said, what is it? And one thing I hate is for you to tell me, just pray. Why did you come? Just pray anything you see. I'm not Ifa that you just go and, or Gogu. Don't Gogu spiritual things out of my life. I said, what do you want? Talk. He said, well, you know, I've met different kind of prophets. They are deceived. You know, somebody, you are asked to come to a prophet. Now you are before one. You are telling him. He said, you know, these prophets, deceivers. I said, madam, what exactly is the problem? She said, well, you know, like I've told you, my eyes have seen a lot of things. While she was saying that, I said, God, I want you to disabuse the mind of. I know she has been frustrated. She has met a lot of false people. And before she's finished speaking, everything, even the things she did not ask for, God opened her life and she started crying. I've only seen her two times. Just twice. The first time she came, she wept and wept and went to tell the man that introduced her and said, do you mean there are prophets? There are prophets still exist. The second time she came, she brought her first fruit into my hands. He said, we don't teach first fruit in this church. She said, she sees that it's what she believes that I should take it. That was the second time. I've not seen her again. And so, you must come to an understanding that no office in the fivefold ministry that is not relevant. Any church that does not embrace all the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, pastors, teachers, that church cannot perfect saints. You are not smarter than Christ that gave the office. You are not wiser than Christ. The Bible says he ascended on high, took captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. What are the gifts? He gave men unto men. That those men, so he is wise when he chose five of, for you to say, I don't believe in prophets, you will shortchange yourself. Because you are not smarter than Christ that gave the office. Even him was a master prophet. So everyone in fivefold ministry got one fifth of what Christ had. So for you to deny and say, I don't want it, you are denying the leadership of Christ in the body of Christ. And here you go to some churches. Many years ago, I went to a church. Unfortunately, it's here in this church. And when someone came to her, knowing that I operate in the prophetic, I don't know why you made that announcement. Maybe that's how they make it every month or every Sunday. He said, in this church, we don't welcome anything prophetic, anything. Hi! Say, I pity you people. Last week I was teaching you that the primary assignment, and I told you, you cannot box any of these men in these offices into a particular anointing and say, if you are an apostle, you must operate like this. No. God can be dimensional in his operation with men. You can't say he's a prophet if he must only see vision. And some people have been deceived into thinking all they should be as a prophet is to say vision. So even when vision is not coming, to show that they are a prophet, they speak. They are willing to me, I must say something. I'm a prophet. The primary assignment is to teach the people. So we say the apostles give direction. Let me show you. I was taking those teachings last week. See, apostles, they govern. Apostles govern. Prophets guide by prophetic insight and directions. Evangelists, they gather. Soul winning. Missions, they gather. Their own is not to sit and ground the people. Their own is to go gather. Evangelist does not sit there. If you see any evangelist who sit down and is fighting with his church pastor, he doesn't know his assignment. His assignment is go and gather and bring to the church pastor to guard, to feed. Pastors to guard, teachers to ground. Teachers are most often pastors equally function as teachers. And most often, teachers function in local churches. They may not be the head pastor, but they function in local churches, assisting the pastor to ground the people in the word of God. Praise God. So we see, the Bible says in Proverbs 17, 27 and verse 17, say, iron sharpeneth iron. When we don't come to the place of unity, we can't sharpen ourselves. I remember those days, as a young believer, you see other young believers hiding Christian literature from you. You are wondering. So what becomes of the person who wrote it? Somebody wrote it. You find it. Because you have found a principle in that book, you don't want another believer to see it. One of the things I always want to do is if I find any book, I announce it. As many people I can give. Because, listen to me, you can't succeed independently. This kingdom is not designed for anybody to succeed by himself. It's not designed like that. That's why he gave varieties of gifts. He poured all the gifts among all the saints. The fivefold ministry is not all among us. That was why he was speaking in 1 Corinthians. So he said, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers. They are not all. But the gift of the Holy Spirit spoken in 1 Corinthians 12 is poured upon all of us. Variety. So we must come to a place where unity helps us to sharpen one another. That is when the movement will be swift and fast. Don't see yourself better than anybody. You are only a better version of what God says you are. You can only become a better version of God's plan for your life. You cannot be compared. Everywhere you go, you compare yourself. Say, don't be high-minded. Have this mind that is in Christ. Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind that is in Christ. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Having no reputation of himself. Let's be humble. Say humility. Number two, which is humility I'm going to talk about now. Maturity comes when there is a years of submission. You don't come to maturity when you don't stay for years. Submission under the process of growth under the leadership of a minister. In the fivefold ministry. You cannot be a saint and island. This is what the devil is trying to do in the body of Christ today. People are saying, I can do without a church. I can do without pastor. It's the deception of hell. I can do without submitting myself under anybody. They are everywhere now. They don't go to church and they proclaim to be believers. They are not submitted. They are not under the authority of any man. They are by themselves. They are saying, yeah, I can still do Christianity. Of course, I have books. I can find Christian literature. I can Google messages. I can listen to me. It doesn't happen. In the kingdom, it does not happen like that. When he chose 12, 3 years they were under him. He was teaching them for 3 years before he released them. Don't just become an island on your own. So there must be years of submission. Don't be jumping around. You jump in, you jump out, you jump in, you jump out, you jump in, you jump out. You are not found anywhere. You will see some believers, you can't trace them to any man of God. Their life has been so confused. Today they are teaching the doctrine of salvation for eternity. Tomorrow they are just confused entities. Because they have not submitted to anybody. You can't trace them to any species in the body. You can't trace them to the species of the apostle. You can't trace them to the species of the prophetic. You can't trace them to the species of... They are nowhere. So submission. See after me, say submission. Yeah. That submission means as a saint, you must be teachable. There are saints that are not teachable. They are only in church nodding their head when the pastor is teaching. They are not there. There's something I call defensive hearing. When somebody is teaching you Everything you are hearing is how to counter what he's saying. So you will be hearing what he's not teaching. Because you have built a wall between yourself and him. They may pretend they are writing notes. They may pretend they are listening, nodding their heads, looking at you. But listen, they are defensive in their hearing. All their ear is open to. The Bible says, in the last days, men shall have itching ears. One of the peril of the last day is that men will have itching. What is itching ears? Ears that is selective in hearing. What this is what I want to hear. So when you begin to teach what they don't like, they shut down. So while you are teaching, they start doing like this. They want you to know you are wasting our time. It's only in church you see people watching time for the pastor. Like this. But they'll be looking at the wall so that your attention can go to the clock. They have itching ears. Selective hearing. It is what they like they want to hear. It's one of the deceptions in the last days. One of the perils, one of the spirits that will operate in the last day is that some people will develop a heart. A heart that becomes an idol. Anytime they are confronted with the truth, they fight it in their mind. See that pastor, I don't like his teaching. The question is he teaching the Bible? It's not about you. It's not about you, it's about the truth. It's not about even the pastor himself. They are teaching all the time, salvation, all the time. Can't they just teach something on motivational? At least you go to some churches, you see, you know, how to make it. How to make it in this economic... Hello, listen. That's not the purpose. How to have an edge. If you want to go to Lagos Business School and go and learn that. I will never shut down church service for something you can learn. You went to the university all the years. You didn't learn all of that. It's in church. I'll start teaching you. I won't waste my time doing that. How to succeed. So we must come to a place where we submit ourselves. Not only submission, we build relationship with ministers in the fivefold ministry. Listen to me. If you are not submitted to anyone, either your pastor or somebody in the fivefold ministry, whom you learn from, you are still far from the truth. Because he said he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So if the saint excuses himself from that relationship, he will shortchange himself. Because that is the order. Christ does not have any other provision to perfect saints except that provision. Some people say, after all, I have the Holy Spirit. Christ saw that the Holy Spirit was coming when he provided that structure. He knew, he was the one that told them about the Holy Spirit. He was the one that equally gave them the fivefold ministry. So you hear people say, is it not the same Spirit that is in our pastor, that is inside of me? So what? Listen, you must build a relationship of somebody, of a mentee. And this will take me to the place of the spirit of discipleship. I'm going to be treating discipleship if time permits. Where you have a relationship, you don't see a disciple who does not have a relationship with a teacher. There is nobody that will call himself a disciple and is a disciple by himself. He does not have who is discipling him. And when you ask him, you say, Holy Spirit is my discipler. You have deceived yourself. One of the greatest issues in the body of Christ today is self-deceit. I say, I hear from the Holy Spirit. Especially those who have this prophetic gift, they don't submit to anybody. I say, after all, I see vision. I used to see third heaven. Very soon, you see third hell. So you must build a relationship with honor. Relationship with what? Honor. Many of us are far from honor. You want to tap from people's grace, you don't honor them. Honor flows, grace flows where it is honored. You don't honor ministers. You don't honor pastors. A man of God was sharing one day. He said one of his friends, when they were in school, he saw him reading Kenneth Hagin's book. And he said, why are you reading this Kenneth Hagin book? I said, I want to learn from him. He said, the spirit that is in Kenneth Hagin is in you. So what are you? That same spirit will teach you what he taught Kenneth Hagin. Hey! Do you know how many years it took Kenneth Hagin to write the thing, to write the things you are now learning? You now say, don't worry, this. It means God will help us. And he said, after some times, the guy started going into error. When a saint or a believer does not submit to any of this structure Christ has put in place, they are not far from error. Very soon, you see them on Facebook, start saying rubbish. Pastors, it's time you start sharing rice. Hey, God. Who has bewitched the church? People have gathered money. Is it not time you remove the money? Is church a bank or a contribution or Ususu center where you contribute money? After some times, you come back and say, you know, I need the money. That is to tell you that all the while they have not had the understanding of who they were giving their money. All the while, they have not understood whom they were actually giving their money. They didn't know. So that's why they come back for it and say, Bing Power, I will lift up my eyes. And where shall my help come from? If you know it is God you have been giving, then your eyes will be looking up to him. There's nothing wrong for ministers to bless people when they are in need, which we too we do here. But I don't believe in putting it on the internet. I don't believe that. You are helping people. Must everybody in the world see it? When they were paying the offering, how many places did you post it on the internet? There's nothing wrong. But that should not be your primary concern now. And start fighting people that did it. Start fighting your pastor. Pastor, my pastor did not send rice to me. Do you know what your pastor is going through? So if you hear after the COVID-19 that your pastor withdraw from church account and bought rice to his house, you are the first set of people that will fight the pastor. Now he should buy that same rice for you. The Lord is helping us. Hallelujah. So you must build a relationship. Build a relationship with honor. Let me show you a scripture. In the book of Hebrew, I have a few more things to share. The book of Hebrew, chapter 13, very important. Hebrew 13. Let's look at it from verse 17. Hebrew 13 from verse 17. Obey them that has rule over you. Who are the people God, Jesus Christ, placed to have rule over the saints? Mention them. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and everybody. Obey them who have rule. They were not the one that put themselves in the office. Christ put them. Obey them that have rule over you. And submit yourself. And do what? Submit. Listen, if you don't submit yourself, you cannot be teachable. You cannot be taught. And submission is when, not that when you see your pastor, you say, Erasa. That's not submission. Submission is not Yoruba prostrating. That's not submission. Submission is that you are following with your heart and with your spirit. The Bible says, Elijah followed him. Elijah told him, go back. He said, I will not go back. He followed him to a point that he knew when exactly he will be taken. When he asked for seven portions, he said, when you know, if you will know when I will be taken, you will get it. Familiarity have made a lot of saints lost grace. They are too familiar with the people God has placed over them. They are too familiar. So they lost out of spiritual blessings and grace that should dominate their life. Jesus speaking, he said, a prophet has no honor in his house. In Jesus' town where he grew up, he could not bless anybody. Not that he cannot. They were not submitted to his ministry. Why? They knew his family. They knew how he grew up. They knew his father was a carpenter. And that was all they saw in him. They didn't see Jesus, the Messiah. The Bible says, as soon as he crossed to the other city, miracle broke out. Please, in these last days, I want to endure, if you are listening to me online or you are seated here, don't allow pride. Submit yourself. Look at it. He says, for they watch over your souls. Can you see relationship with Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12 now? For the perfecting of the saints, they watch over your souls as they must give account. Listen to this. Even those in the fivefold ministry must give account. Say after me, say account. Yes. That they may do it with joy. So that when they are giving account on the judgment seat of Christ, before the judgment seat, they will do it with gladness. That the people you gave to me, this is the report. Many of you do not know that in the judgment seat of Christ, pastors will give account. Yes. This give accounting, people don't know is real. It is in the, that's why it says some people's work will pass through fire. Which work? The account they gave. It will be tested. Not that you won't make heaven, but how the account you gave is what will determine your reward. I say some will have crown, some will lose the crown. Even in heaven, there will be levels. And not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So, the account your pastor give on judgment day will determine your reward about you. The Lord is helping us in Jesus' name. Number three, signs of growth and maturity in the saints is the principle of multiplication. When disciples and saints begin to multiply themselves after their kinds, is a sign you are growing. You've been in church for a long time. You have not brought one person. You meet people in your offices. You meet people every day. You meet them online. You have not brought one. And say this. And say, Pastor, this is the person I've been teaching what you taught me. Not one person. You are not multiplying. You are not growing. Anything that grows, multiply. Anything that grows, multiply. Seed reproduce after seed. Of their own kind, of their own species. Listen to me, the saints are a species. We are a species. Every day you meet people, you are unbelievers in your neighborhood, you don't talk to them, you don't multiply, you are not growing. You are not growing. So you must multiply. Produce the species of the saint. Listen to me, why are we a species? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. When a man is in Christ, is a new creature, is a new species. That word creature is a, the word species is used for the word a kind of creature, is a new species. So the saints, we are a species that must multiply. And that you are multiplying is an indication you are coming to maturity. You don't pay for somebody's transport and say, come to our church, I'll pay for your transport. Bring the person to church. Bring, say, come and meet my pastor. He will minister to you. It's an indication you are not growing. You have unbelievers' friends everywhere. One of the things I want you to say is to list 5 unbelievers' friends you have and start praying for them. 5. And say, God, I will not rest until this person is saved. 5. Write them. I told you about having a prayer Bible. Write their names and say, God, I will not rest until this person is saved. It shows how much you have grown when you pray such prayers. It shows how much you love. Because one of the indications of growth is love. When you begin to care after the welfare of others, you call them your friends and you know if anything happens, he's going to hell. You are not a good friend. You are not a good friend. Write them and say, until he is saved, anywhere, anyhow. And while praying that prayer, he will come crying to you and said, I don't know, talk to me. I think there's something God wants you to tell me. And your pulpit has come. Praise God. Now, let me quickly share this because of
you know, our time, we must understand 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. He said, ye are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Can you imagine something? Royal priests. That place talk about kingship and priesthood. Kingship and priesthood. Among the saints, there are people who function as kings. Now, kings there indicate that there are saints who will never stand by the pulpit to preach, because they may not function as priests literally. They will function as kings in business places. Their pulpits may be a courtroom. Their pulpit may be a doctor's room in operation. Their pulpit may be a banking hall. They will function as kings. Some, their platform or pulpit may be politics. There are saints who will not be literal preachers. Like, I'm a preacher, I'm an evangelist, you know. And now listen to me. Saints are given this platform in the world, because many of us think we are not working for God until you are working in church. This has always been the mindset, that you are not working for God until you are an usher in church. There are some of us who may never be ushers. You may never be in the workforce of your church, but you are a king in ministry. In the secular job that you do, you can work for God. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 5, 9 and 10, He said, He has made us king and priest unto our God. So the king is talking about those God has called to secular. There are some of you who are already in secular job. And this is the reason some people resign and say, I want to work for God. No, you can work for God. You can work. If you are not called to be a priest, that God is calling into full-time priestly ministry, you can. Many people have resigned their job today. They are supposed to be kings in ministry, not priests in ministry. They are supposed to work for God in the secular. Yes. As doctors, as lawyers, as engineers. That is a, so you know, small thing, say, you hear people say, I want to go and start my own ministry. I want to go and resign. So they see all kind of, you know, hungry, decorated ministries. God didn't call them. God called him to be a lawyer, so that in his practice as a lawyer, he can use that platform to bring Christ to people. But he resigned and opened church. People have always think that the only way to serve God is to be a priest. It's a lie. So in the secular, the saints will operate beyond the scope of the, you know, walls of the church. So who is a minister? A minister is not somebody who only stands by the pulpit. A minister is every child of God. Write this down. A minister is every child of God that render any form of service, both secular and spiritual, to introduce Christ to humanity. Write it down. Who is a minister? A minister is every child of God who render any form of service, both in secular and spiritual, to introduce Christ to humanity, to serve humanity by introducing Christ to them. So say after me, say, I am a minister. People have always believed that somebody is not a minister until he opens a church. Somebody is not a minister until he starts preaching by the pulpit. Remember, He said He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, for the perfecting of the saint, that the saint may do the work of ministry. So saints are ministers. Say, I am a minister. Yeah, that's who you are. While you are distributing those goods for your company, as you go to your customers, after giving them the goods, your company, minister to them. You are a minister. You are a minister. Minister to them. Carry tracks along.
As you are distributing around, say, Madam, I hope you don't care. Take this track. You have minister. Listen to me. You'll be surprised the way you will be rewarded in the judgment seat of Christ. There are people you have never seen behind pulpit, the way they will be rewarded. Because they are secret disciples in the marketplace. Discipling people in the, not having a formal church setting, but they are winning souls for Christ. So their pulpit can be an executive desk, a contractor's pickup, a doctor's operating room, the lawyer's courtroom, political platform can be your pulpit because you are a king in ministry, you are a minister. When you start seeing yourself like that, the sense of responsibility will dawn on you that I am a minister. As a lawyer, I am a minister. As a doctor, as you are praying for people, you minister to them. So have you given? You know this person may die. You quickly minister. You see, one of the reasons God has given many believers the opportunity to work in the medical platform is to lead dying souls to Christ. As a doctor, you know this man, his chance is 50-50. Pray for him and lead him to Christ. You have won a soul. What your pastor is doing every Sunday, you have done it in your place. Because the soul your pastor won doing his job by the pulpit is the same quality of soul. So you'll be surprised that it's not pastors that will be rewarded more in heaven. Many people are thinking, pastors, people will be... As ministers in the marketplace, you'll be rewarded. Shout hallelujah. Because of our time, we may need to continue next week. And I want you to know that 98% of saints have their income outside of the church setting. Only few people work for church. In some churches, like our church, nobody is paid, including me. Some churches, pastors are paid. That is where they end. 99% of most congregations end their living. So where they end their living is their pulpit. So let's not lock ourselves down in church. Everything we have to do that has to do with preaching and teaching and evangelism and all of that must be in the church. Now, let me quickly say this. Very, very important. On the discipleship side of the saint, there's a discipleship perspective, which is the spirit of disciples to ministers. In number one, the discipleship of the saint must be knowledge based. Number one, there must be knowledge. You must teach people. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, it says, in the last day, the knowledge of God shall fill and cover the earth like waters, like the sea, like the sea covers the surface of the earth. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Rightly. So there must be word, there must be knowledge. Number two, obedient base. There must be willingness. There must be obedience. You must follow what you are teaching. You must follow what you are teaching. Number three, because of power, I'm going to explain this better next week. It must be power-based discipleship. Jesus went and showed the disciples how to cast out demons. He literally showed them power demonstration. The Bible says he appointed them two and gave them power. He said, I have given you power and authority to cast out. They went on a power practical. It must be power-based demonstration of the power of God. The saints, it's not only pastor that should heal the sick. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not only pastor that should cast out demons. It's a responsibility. This sign shall follow them that believe. It is a pastors that believe. They, in my name, they will have their hands laid on the sick. They will cast out demons. So there will be many Josephs in these last days that will function in politics, in government, and yet still introduce Christ to the people. There will be many Daniels. Daniel functioned for 55 years. No government could reject him. He was too relevant to be relegated. That's what God is going to be doing with some of the saints. There will be many Daniels. Amos was a farmer. He was a shepherd man, and he equally operated. He was equally, as he was doing his shepherding job, he was doing his farming job, he was equally prophesying to the nation of Israel. He never left farming. The same thing with Daniel. Daniel was working as a government administrator. All the time he saw the vision of the end time, that was what he was doing. Praise God. The Lord is helping us in the name of Jesus.
And lastly, soul-winning oriented disciples are the disciples that God wants to raise in this last day of the coming of the saints. They will be soul-winning oriented. Next week we'll discuss further and better on these things. Bow down your heads and talk to God and say, God, open my understanding to these things. Let me understand with clarity. Let my understanding be opened. Loud it in my spirit. Increase it in my spirit. Let it take over me. Let the passion for the kingdom, let it consume me. That I will see nothing but Christ and Him resurrected. That I will know nothing but Christ and Him resurrected. That nothing will matter again but the divine assignment of the kingdom. Takushi nahande prohodia katila kritisha. In Jesus' name we pray. Before I leave here, I want to tell you this, and I want those online to listen to this. There's a lot of records of deaths going on now. I want you to have this assurance that He swallowed up death in victory. And listen to me, because of you, somebody close to you can survive this period because of you. If you will take your place as a priest unto the Lord. Because of you. So don't let anyone around you die. You should be held responsible. Take advantage of what God has started with you.